Welcome to another Fabric Podcast. In this episode, Melissa Locke starts our conversation, All I Want for Christmas, with a particular focus on the material, the tangible. For many of us, that's what feels like one of the biggest stressors of the season, and maybe part of that is just feeling like if we were good enough or smart enough or spiritual enough, we simply would not be troubled by those material things. Well, maybe leaning into our lists could shed some light on what we really need and want this Christmas.
Welcome, everyone. So, there's 29 days till Christmas, people. Do you have your list going? Lots of different kinds of lists, right? So we're talking about All I Want for Christmas. A different kind of list, and this is your list. This is all about you, all right? These weeks we're gonna have space to explore what is it that you would really like to have. Something that would make a difference, but it feels maybe a little out of reach. For one reason or another, you can't just make it happen. It might even feel like a little too big to hope for, but not so big like world peace or tickets to the Taylor Swift concert. Something that, you know, every once in a while at least you sense, I could or should be able to get this somehow. I don't know, these longings that we have. I know there's a picture that kind of has some longing in it from Jeanette Mayo, the cemetery. I wonder what that turkey is longing for. Poor guy. So maybe it's not the thing itself that feels big, but it's actually the asking that feels big. Like, you know, maybe you just need help with shoveling snow, and you have no idea who to ask or where to start. Our recent purposes and preferences conversations might come to your mind as we talk about this. There are things we would just like in the moment, right? Like to get all of the leftover pie to ourselves, to not have to deal with that person at work. I don't know. Are those ungrounded preferences? I guess you have to be the one to decide that, right? But it's really important to ask. The point I want to make today is that there are preferences, longings, wants, needs, desires that you have that are grounded in purpose. And the purpose is living life, okay? Life woven deeply with your real self, with others, and with that which is. So some of those yearnings that we have are pretty deeply buried in us. We may have forgotten about them. In fact, I don't know if it was 2 years ago, there was a cleaning service featured in the paper called Two Bettys. And I was on the reading the paper thinking, oh, I love their business model, and they sound like a decent place to work, and boy, would I love to have Two Bettys come to my house and clean. And I had forgotten about that longing I had had, because I honestly said, it's not possible. We don't have that in our budget, blah, blah, blah. So I had tucked that away, right? But it came back as I was preparing for this message today. So what are they for you? What if you had the time and space to remember, to notice, to think about these deeper desires, these deeper longings, and how might you actually see that happening? Like, is there some way, is there some motion, some wheels turning that could actually get that idea from your list under the Christmas tree? And what if it actually, like, appeared there and you could open that gift and start living with it? So we're going to be exploring this territory these 3 weeks, plus when the kids have their pyrotechnic production. We're going to be exploring these deeper longings in some different arenas. And today's arena is very tangible. And that's why I just set the table. Because we eat, right? We have tangible, real life needs. So this is on the back of your Sunday paper, and I want you to all leave with this one message clear in your mind. You are a flesh and blood human being. You are a flesh and blood human being. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And this is going to be a little bit workshop style. Like, I actually want you to have time to do this. You have real needs and wants. And so I want you to start thinking, like, really tangibly, materially, physically. Like, you need to eat, you need water, but also, like, maybe you want to play basketball again. Maybe you long for more, like, hugs, more touch in your life. Maybe you long for more physical intimacy, and that's really hard to ask for, to hope for. Maybe you want some order in your house, that it's just felt like chaos and you don't know where to start. Maybe you just want some safety, like to feel more safe where you're at. Maybe you need money to pay off a debt, right? Maybe you need money to start a project that you've been dreaming about that's been tucked back there and you're just kind of not sure when that will actually come into play. Maybe you need like better insulation in your house or a car that works or a phone that works or a computer that doesn't freak out every time you turn it off. Maybe you want control, get your diabetes under control, or a place for your parents that feels right. I don't know what it is for you, but I want you to think of the things that you just feel like if these could be dealt with, I could feel maybe a little more peace. Maybe some obstacles could be removed, some pressures. I could have some space so that I could be bigger than these challenges. Perhaps the thing is financial or something that needs figuring out or a decision made or a health issue. I don't know. But today, you have space to actually land on this question for a little time and get some wheels turning. So what are some things that could be real difference makers in our lives, individually and for this world? To warm up, I want you to pull out that piece of paper. And I think you might have had some practice thinking about things you're thankful for this past couple days. So I want you to start a thank you list. And not just any thank you list, I want this to be very, very tangible, okay? So the first thing you can write on your list, besides the word thank you on one side of the sheet, is your body, my body. Thank you for my body, okay? Because that's something very tangible that you have here. I'm gonna just give you some ideas, but feel free to just write on your own. Stuff that you use regularly, it could be big things, small things, that just make life work for you, you would really notice if they were missing, if they weren't there. Like I have my cat, two cars that are working, a refrigerator, freezer, my coffee grinder, a safe home, sun, water, plants, I don't know. So natural things, man-made things, physical, tangible people that are near you, help that you get. All right. I feel like you've got a good start on that, hopefully. And I'm gonna keep us moving into the next list, which you can write please. Please on the other side. And same categories, but this time things that you need or want, tangible things. And I want to invite you to think a little big here, okay? I'm not promising you're gonna get all these, right? But don't worry about that right now. What are some things that you could just acknowledge would make a big difference in your life? Maybe you've given up on it or forgotten about it. Material things, maybe it is just money. So write down money. Money for what? Add some other ideas under there. Money for what? Maybe it's changes in your physical situation, the space that you work in, your space at home. This one I want you to take a little more time with. So can you cue some music back there for a minute? Try to fill up that page if you can. Mm-hmm. How it was for you, but list number one or two, if you just hold up on a finger, which one was easiest? Number one, thank you. Okay. Yeah, mostly number ones. I don't think I saw any number twos. It's a little harder to name our wants. This is a time of year when, you know, kids are asked, what do you want for Christmas? I mean, when I was a kid, there were things called catalogs, JCPenney catalog. And I would look through and be marking it up, right, and, you know, give it to my grandparents and aunts and uncles. And but then you grow up, and you're not supposed to have wants like that, right? That's not, like, evolved or something, or you're supposed to be focused on giving, and that's good. That's all good. But, you know, what about our longings? Do we need to tend to those? You know, sometimes I think it might not even occur to you to ask, like, me have needs, preferences, wants of my own? I'm wired to please and perform, to show up for that good cause, pull my weight on the team, right? Be the one who's dependable, to be counted on, to go with the flow, to be easy, right? A friend of mine has this great story. Her family would order pizza for years. It would always have olives on it until someone said, I actually really don't like olives. And all of them said, I don't either. All these years they've been ordering pizza with olives because they didn't, no one said, this is what I want. Isn't that interesting how when we say what we want, how it can open up things for other people? Gives them permission, right, to say what they want. Okay, so why is this hard? Especially in this area of physical, tangible, material life. One, they bring up shame and judgment. I mean, I should be able to clean my own damn house, right? I should not. I mean, who gets a cleaning person? I don't know, a lot of people, but I don't think I should be one of them for some reason. Even though, yeah. Also, which is related, so they reveal our limits, right? Either real or perceived limits. We feel like I feel like I don't think it's in our budget to have a cleaning person. And one of my friends says, well, who needs two Bettys when you have one Joe? I mean, he pretty much does all the chores. And you know, he doesn't love cleaning either, and if he was cleaning the house, he wouldn't be doing something else. Like, we have to make choices, right, on how we're going to use our time and our resources. And then there's that, you know, that who am I to, like, have these needs when there's people, you know, coming up from the border without winter coats? Like, I don't want to use my money on this cleaning thing. I want to, like, save the world. You know, maybe there's this questioning, like, so many people have it so much worse. Who am I to have wants, desires, needs, especially in this material area? So, yeah, we have to make these choices. We have to face some limits. But underneath all these, what are the messages? I mean, you might not consciously think this, but what I hear when I look into those is, I'm not worthy of having needs, wants, dreams, and actually asking for them is not okay. It's not possible. There isn't enough, right? There's not enough, whatever. I'm not enough. There's not enough in the world. I don't know what your experience is like or what this all sounds like to you as we're getting into it. But I do know that you and I are flesh and blood humans. You have real wants and needs and desires, and they matter. They matter. So I want to light this candle because they don't just matter to you, even though that actually really counts. They matter to others, and they matter to that which is, to God, to this fabric that we can't quite understand, but it's what we're part of. Our longings deserve that attention, that loving three-stranded awareness, not our squinty-eyed judgment that says, oh, the world is scarce, there's not enough, I'm not enough. So let me share a real example for me. A week ago Friday, I was just feeling really tired, really depleted, but had a lot to do, had some plans, just had been feeling flat, hard to get out of bed all week, right? I couldn't figure out why. I didn't even have time to wonder. but I did have a friend ask me how I was doing, and I told her. And it stopped me in my tracks when she said, Melissa, isn't this the week, the anniversary of when your mom died? I was like, oh my gosh, this is the day. This is November 18th. This is the day she died, 28 years ago. Oh, yeah, maybe there's something more going on. Just the Sunday before, Greg had been here talking about this simplicity idea that we, you know, we try to figure out life and move into it as independent operators because it seems simple, right? But it's actually simplistic. It doesn't acknowledge what's really going on in our messy lives. Things like grief and how it stays with you for years. I mean, how about that? I'm not immune from that either. Like, I was stopped by that. And I have had a lot of, like, really grateful times, like therapists over the years and friends, like many of them here that have helped, shared their struggles and helped me know, like, it's important to stop and take time and pause and feel your feelings and all that. But I forgot that day. That was, like, not okay for me to do. And I needed a reminder. I mean, I'm a flesh and blood human being. I need other flesh and blood human beings to give me space to acknowledge and tell me, hey, it's okay. You can have needs. You can stop. Maybe the whole world won't fall apart. You know, maybe the things that you need to do, the places you need to go will work out. Maybe it's okay to stop today. Light a candle and feel this. Whew, I needed that. I forgot to take my rope out, but do you hear it in there? I was doing this, you know, trying to be the Lone Ranger. And I got that reminder from friends that day. And the people around me that it was okay. And the acknowledgement and the permission. And the reminder that I am still loved, even though I have these needs. And I think that might have been all I was really longing for. What a gift they all gave me, this non-judgmental space. They trusted me to know what I needed and to act on that in my own time and in my own way, at my own pace. So that was a very woven moment for me that I needed, was grateful for. And I find it interesting that in the word belonging, that maybe this braiding kind of represents, this weaving that we talk about. What's the word you hear in that word belonging? Longing. So we talk about these three strands. There's some at the table. If you don't have have some, pick three up that can represent the you, the true you strand, and the others in your life and in this world and the others of the world itself, and that which is maybe called the God strand. Ignoring or denying our physical longings really separates us from what is, from the ways we are made. It feeds these messages of not enough, that we're apart from. And when we do act as if we're apart from, that scarcity is actually real. Your power and your resources, your vision, your perspective, they are limited as an unwoven strand. Even though the idea that you and I are on our own in a scarce and competitive planet is an illusion that I don't believe, the dominant culture in America has lived by that illusion. So even though it's a made-up one, it has had real consequences, right? The message of win-lose scarcity fuels our politics, our economy, our unsustainable consumptions, unjust systems. If I say that your life, your needs, your longings matter, and you look different from me, is that like saying mine don't? Like my longings and needs don't matter? It's kind of how it seems to be set up in the conversation. We take what has been so generously and freely given in this world, and we call it scarce. And the world begins to become that way. As we live in this scarcity illusion, we actually create the scarcity of relationships, of connection, of resources, of vision. I find that incredibly sad and tragic, and that's why I'm here, and that's why we're talking about this, because I believe that what we practice here together ends up emerging out there. It shows up in the world and starts to change things. It only takes a little love, as we sang earlier. What if that's true? In your Sunday paper, there's a passage from the Bible, because we're not the first people to wrestle with this in the world. Those who follow Jesus did too, and they wrote accounts of his reflections on our material longings, among many other things, in his Sermon on the Mount. So that's what this passage is from. And you can read it. It's in your Sunday paper, so you can mark it up as you wish. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you will wear. And then it talks about the birds and the lilies and how they don't worry about these things. God knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. So do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Don't you love it when you're feeling worried and someone says, "Don't be anxious. Don't worry." Easier said than done. And so I think when you hear these words, it's easy to get caught up in that part and be like, "Ah, BS," right? But we miss the other part in there, that God knows you have needs. God knows I have needs, and they matter. And God provides for them in ways that we're missing almost all the time. Take a look outside. Take a look at those birds, at those flowers that are many of them never seen, and yet they're just gorgeous. Life is bursting with longing. It's not saying don't have needs. In fact, this part is nested right in between two other passages that are about, like, ask for your daily bread, ask for your daily tangible needs. And then after it, there's that ask, and it shall be given, knock, or seek, and the door will be open. Knock, you know, it's like, yeah, you have needs, ask for them. This is how it works. But not worrying is like saying, don't think about elephants, right? So then what? When you know, don't worry, and now I'm just worrying all the time. So that's where there's a line in there that says, seek first. You know, another way of saying that is long for. Long for, before anything else, long for the kingdom of heaven. I don't know how you think about that phrase, but I've heard it said the kingdom of heaven. That deep connectedness with us, within us, with each other, with that which is. Long for that, seek that, align with the fabric, with the reality of what is. There's one version that says, steep your life in God reality. It doesn't promise you'll get everything you say you want, but it brings you and your full humanity into view of this loving, generous, full of abundance, life-buzzing reality that we're part of. All right, so steep your life in God reality. How do you do that? And what does it have to do with the list that you made? I don't know, to be honest. This is a really hard topic. I mean, why, last week I talked to Chris Lillehei, the chaplain at Children's, why do some families get miracles and some don't? One of the most important fabricisms to me is that God doesn't play games. You know, God isn't a vending machine. And yet, I believe deeply that there is power, strength, and resilience when we bring this loving and three-stranded awareness to bear on our world and on our lives. It doesn't mean everything works out, but everything is part of that fabric. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. It can bear. It can bear a lot. So I actually want you to start your own list. Take one thing off your please list and test this out. So what I really want for Christmas is what? You know, these longings are real. Name it, claim it. I want you to actually pick one out and write it on the Sunday paper next to the list, okay? And then, so something that would really be a difference maker. And to the right, I have suggested some better questions. You know, there's a lot of stuck questions that I think I've kind of alluded to. Some better questions that can help you explore as you're doing this. The next one is getting it under the tree. How will you actually see some possibility here? How could some movement be created? How could some wheels get turning? And what's your part and what's not your part? What would it look like to be brave and maybe, like, tell someone about this? Write about that. And there's not a lot of space on your Sunday paper, so that makes it less overwhelming. You don't have to have, like, 5 hours and a quiet room. Just, like, take a few minutes and just start. Get your pen moving on that. And use those questions or others that can create some space for you. So that's the getting it under the tree step. And the one piece I want to highlight on there is to ask what resources do you have inside and around you? Like maybe your body can be your ally in that moment. Your breath. Like if you feel sort of stuck, like, gosh, I have these longings, but I don't know where to start. Sometimes like going back to that material place, like, oh yeah, I have a body. Okay, let's check in, start over. And that's where our three bowls of fabric, we are here to help each other with that personal practice bowl, right? To give each other ideas and support and permission. And then these other ones, This big bowl is where we're here now, like having space to imagine and getting some conversations going that we aren't just gonna have. I don't know who else, if you were planning on thinking about this stuff on your own, but no, we're bothering you with it. And I think, like Chris said, we're glad to be bothered. We're glad to get to sing. We're glad to get to have these conversations. The middle bowl is where we integrate this into our lives. These are the people that have been, you know, maybe a friend comes out of this group that you could tell about these things. Maybe they're the one you listen to about their longings. So that's something you can keep coming back to as you work through, you know, acknowledging these longings and seeing where that can take you. Then there's the step of opening the gift and imagining, how would I actually live with this if I got it, right? Like, there might be some unexpected problems or maybe some unexpected joys. You weren't expecting this miracle, right? But now it happened, so now what? Like, you could start imagining what that would be like. Okay, so the kids, welcome back, kids, as you find your moms, dads, families, people. We'll let your bodies remind us that we are also humans with real needs. And maybe, even though my friends could not, you know, bring my mom back that day or ease my grief, like, is it enough that someone acknowledges that you have needs? Is it maybe enough that they sit with you? Even though there's no guarantee or no fixing a lot of parts, but there can be a longing that you honor. Like, maybe it is in that longing that love actually flows. When we name our longings, things start moving. So, like, I don't know if I can really get a cleaning person or if you can get the things on your list, but I know the answer is not to pretend we don't have needs and longings. So, this week, as you sit down to a plate of food, remember, you are a flesh and blood human being, and you have real needs. And let yourself be nourished by that food, by that pause.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wonderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.